له الحمد الحسن وثناء الجميل. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله لا شريك له، خلق فسوى وقدر فهدى، والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى. وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله، بلغ عن الله رسالاته ونصح له في برياته، فجزاه الله بأفضل ما جزى به نبيًا عن أمته، اللهم وعلى آله وأصحابه وعلى من اقتفى أثره واتبع سنته ومنهجه بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، اللهم اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما، وتفرقنا من بعده تفرقا معصوما. اللهم ولا تجعل فينا ولا من بيننا شقيا ولا محروما. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. Before I proceed, inshallah, where we stopped yesterday, about the story I mentioned about the burial of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, rahimahullah, near Constantinia, which is now Istanbul, Turkey. The conversation, it happened between the king of Rum and Yazid ibn Muawiyah. It wasn't Muawiyah, because Muawiyah was the Khalifa, and he sent his son Yazid to conquer or try or an attempt to conquer Constantinia, which of course they did not succeed. And as a result, Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu, he was old and he wanted to be among the Muslims who are going to spread the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And وافته المنية على أبواب القسطنطينية. His time with Malak al-Maut was near the wall of Constantinia. So as all the companions at that time, they rushed to bury him, they carried him ala sarir, which is like a na'sh, which is like the coffin, the box.
Yes.
His wish was to be buried near the wall of Constantinia, because he heard the Prophet ﷺ said, the best emir who will conquer Constantinia, wa khayru junudiha, and they are the best army, basically. So he wanted, at his age, you know, he wasn't young. It shows you that the work for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not know limitation. As Imam Ahmad rahimahullah said, what he said, min al-mihbara ila al-maqbara, right? Al-ilm doesn't stop from the time. He said, from my mihbara, which is al-mihbara, you know how they write, the old days, they had risha, you know, a feather, pointy,
yes.
And they had an app, exactly, has the ink in it, and they dip and write. Mm-hmm. And you can see how much that length it is to write a hadith, yeah. And books, yeah. And what? No, LED lights and top of the lights. No, ala anwar, small lamps of oil. You can see how much that's stressful to the eyes, but they write. They don't care, because their body in the dunya, but of course their soul and everything there is somewhere else. What they're facing is not what we, what they're experiencing, we don't know how they experience. So they write, and he said, "Min al mihbara." He said, "From this, ila al maqbara, mihbara, maqbara. Maqbara is what, the graveyard. So basically, it is no time to stop obtaining ilm. And this is should be the duty for every Muslim. The dunya is taking us enough. And the best place is whenever we see a small gathering for us, even little knowledge, even if you know, sometimes you know what is going to be talked about. You sit in the majlis for what? For the purpose of you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as soon as you disperse from the majlis, أن يقالوا لنا قوموا مغفورا لكم. Leave with forgiveness from your Rabb. Not only this, before that, the angels that طوافون في الأرض. You know, there are angels, طوافون, you know what it means? They are wandering on earth. Angels, you don't see them, but they are wandering. What is they looking for? Tijara? Money? They're looking for Maserati, or you call it? No. They're looking for majalis al-dhikr. And whenever one of them find, he will call the others. Halum, come this way. There is a majlis ilm. So ta'ati al-mala'ika one after one. What the angels have? Uli ajniha, mathna, وثلاث ورباع. They have many, many wings. So they cover with the wings. You know how they... Have you ever seen how the birds, you know, when they want to protect something, they use their wings? So تتغشاهم الملائكة بالأجنحة. After this, تتغشاهم الرحمات. Then the rahmat, the mercy of Allah Ta'ala will be ascended. Just exactly what, inshallah, what we are experiencing right now. So Abu Ayyub, rahimahullah, he was buried near Constantinia. And Malik Constantinia is watching from the Aswar of Constantinia. They have, you know, the fortresses, and they are watching. If you ever went to Istanbul and you see those fortresses, are really not easy to be conquered. But Muhammad al-Fatih, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the tawfiq, and he conquered it. So, and he, when he talked to Yazid, qala, what are you doing? You know, like basically, are you burying your sahib here? And ma talbithun illa an tughadiru. Soon you will leave. You're not gonna. Of course, they did not succeed of conquering Constantinople at that time. So you're gonna leave, and you're gonna leave your man behind you. Well, we take him. We're gonna dig him out of the grave and throw him to the dogs to eat him. Radiallahu anhu. Of course, he is Sahib Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you know that he is. As I mentioned yesterday, he is the one who hosts the Prophet ﷺ in his house after he came from the Hijrah to Medina. He was the fortunate Sahabi, the Prophet ﷺ, to be hosting Khair Man Wata'a Thara, the best man ever walked on the surface of earth. He told him, if I heard that you dig the grave of our Sahib Rasulullah ﷺ, our companion of our Prophet, he said that as warning, as not he is going actually to do it, but he said that I will not going to leave any Christians in Jazirat al-Arab or a church, except you will hear something from me about it. In a way that this man, radiallahu anhu warda, qada ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is in Dar al-Haq. It's nobody's right to dig him. And it's your duty to protect him. And Qaisar, or the king at the time, he said, he shall keep an eye on it. It's not, of course, a way that we have to understand it, that Islam is telling us, hey, to go ahead and kill the Nasara and break the churches and destroy the churches. Definitely, this is not the teaching of Islam. And we do not comment here on what Yazid said, even though الأهل العلم فيها أقوال. But he said it ala sabil, as some ulama said, only the purpose he said it, just to send the message clearly to the king. But of course, would they do that? What the Prophet ﷺ or the companions after the Prophet ﷺ, when they send the army, they said what? La taqta'u shajara. Do not cut a tree. Sometimes the trees are built around the fortresses. La taqta'u shajara. And la taqtulu women, don't kill women or children or musinneen, the elderly. And if you see people are worshipping in their sawami, in their churches or whatever places of worship, leave them for what they are worshipping. Your job is to what? To balighu. So it's not a deen of what? Irhab. It's not a deen of terrorism. It's a deen of rahmah. So this is, I wanted to, before anything, I just wanted to clarify this. I said yesterday at the end of the talk, and some of you might went with a message in their mind, I wanted to make sure the shaitan doesn't come to you from madakhil and convince you or say something that, hey, Sheikh said that. No. But we mentioned that just for the reason. What was the reason for mentioning Abu Ayyub al-Ansari? Do you remember why we mentioned it him yesterday? What was the reason?
Companions left their birthplace and then to spread Islam.
Yes, they left Medina, the best place. They love the. Is anyone play? Do not love Medina, especially Ashab al Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they realized the dunya is short. If Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Inna ka mayyitun wa innahum mayyitun," so they wanted their job is what? To continue, ala ma kana alayhi al-Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa khulafaihi wa ashabihi. Make sense? So that's why all of them they went everywhere to spread La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. We'll continue inshallah on the...
It's a new section. There is no room for addition to the sunnah.
قال المؤلف رحمه الله
The author said,
وَعْلَمْ رَحِمَكَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ فِي السُّنَّةِ قِيَاسٌ.
No, may Allah have mercy on you, that there is neither qiyas analogy in the sunnah.
وَلَا تُضْرَبُ لَهَا الْأَمْثَالُ وَلَا تُتَّبَعُ فِيهَا الْأَهْوَاءُ.
Nor is there coining of similitude for it, nor following of desires in it.
بل هو التصديق بآثار رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بلا كيف ولا شرح ولا يقال لما ولا كيف.
Rather, it is belief in the narrations from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, in Allah's names and attributes and issues of creed, without kayf, asking how, or shar, as explanation that contradicts the correct meaning. It should not be asked why or how. The intended meaning of sunnah here is aqidah. This is because this book deals with the subject of aqidah and aqidah in the sunnah. The name of this book is Shar as-Sunnah, explanation of the sunnah. It is named sunnah because the sunnah is the way. The matters of aqidah and tawqifiyah, divinely restricted. There will never be room in it for additions. It is based upon what is reported from Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whatever is contrary to what is reported from Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is indeed falsehood and misguidance. So this is the meaning of the saying of scholars that aqidah is tawqifiyah. There is no room for making deductive analogy in it, because deductive analogy is only with regard to issues of fiqh, such as the rulings with regard to halal and haram. As for the issues of aqidah, there is no qiyas in it. What is required is acceptance of and submission to whatever has come from Allah and His Messenger, without any intrusion. His saying, nor following of desires in it, meaning it shouldn't be said with regard to aqidah that whatever agrees with one's desires are accepted and whatever is contrary to it is rejected, as is the way of the people of misguidance. And that is why they are called the people of desires. Allah the Most High says,
فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَكَ فَاعْلَمْ أَنَّمَا يَتَّبِعُونَ أَهْوَاءَهُمْ وَمَنْ أَضَلُّ مِمَّنِ اتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ بِغَيْرِ هُدًى مِّنَ اللَّهِ.
But if they answer you not, do not believe in your doctrine of Islamic monotheism, nor follow you, then know that they only follow their own lusts. And who is more astray than one who follows his own lusts without guidance from Allah? Therefore, whoever does not submit to the established aqidah found in the book of Allah and the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, only follows his vain desires. Consequently, the people of innovations in aqidah are called the people of desires, because they follow their desires as contained in the verse, and who is more astray than one who follows his own lusts without guidance from Allah? His saying, rather, it is belief in the narrations from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, regarding Allah's names and attributes and issues of creed, without kayf, asking how, or shar, explanation that contradicts the correct meaning. It should not be asked why or how. That is, submitting to the sayings of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, regarding Allah's names and attributes and matters of aqidah, without shar, without explanation that contradicts its correct meaning, which is the explanation that contradicts what the texts imply and denote. This is widespread among the Jahmiya, the Mu'tazila, and Ash'ari, such as their claim that what is meant by Allah's hand is Al-Qudra, power, His face is essence, and Istiwa, Allah establishing Himself on the throne, Al-Istila, having control and domination over it. These are false explanations. This is not the meaning of these texts. Therefore, the author's saying without shar means without false explanation. As for its explanation by giving its correct meaning, then such is right.
So this is a short, like that short point. We'll stop here, inshallah, for number 9. The bottom of this, what you heard, this number 9, is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came perfect على لسان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم just conveyed the message completely. And the witnesses were the companions, right? On Arafat, يوم الحج الأكبر. When the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Did I convey to you the message? And three times, and they said yes. So that means this is complete. Those who come and read this in the seerah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and they come and claim that there is bad things that they did not, or it wasn't clear in the deen, and they, because they're too intelligent, they found it or they discovered it, that this is desires. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said? وَمَنْ أَضَلُّ مِمَّنْ yeah? وَمَنْ أَضَلُّ مِمَّنْ اتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ بِغَيْرِ هُدًى مِنَ اللَّهِ. Those who are following their desires without the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we say no bila why or كيف, how or why. And this is the problem with Muslims these days. These two things. When you tell someone something from the Sunnah, they argue. It should be what? Should be taken. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in many ayat which have the same meaning. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ. If you love Allah, follow me. Who is follow whom? Follow Ahmed, I mean not for Saeed, Salim, Jaleel, follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right? This is number one. And number two, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ. So the Prophet ﷺ told us about things to do it, do it. Told us about other things, don't do it, don't do it. Others, a lot of people do not do things that the Prophet ﷺ asked to do. That means they are مخالفون للسنة. They are committing violations and wrong to themselves when they ignore what the teaching of the Prophet ﷺ. Because the Prophet ﷺ, when he teaches something, he wants for us what? Al-falah, wa-salah, wa-najah. He wants for us what? Success. The Prophet wanted to see us all in Jannah. But the wise Muslim, whenever a matter comes to him to do something, what do we do? فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Some came to me and asked me, Ya Shaykh, we need to remind the brothers about, you know, the clothes should not be low, the ankle. And we mentioned this before. We said, what is the dalil on this one? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He told us not to pray with garments that's below the ankle. Because this is fi jahannam. We know this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, grow your beard. Very sensitive topic. Grow the beard, right? Yeah. How many Muslims grow their beard? Percentage-wise, worldwide? 50-50? I'm being generous, 50-50, right? 50-50? But what about the other 50?
You can't grow the beard, leave the beard to grow. But,
yeah, I mean, I want to...
No, you are not growing it.
No.
It's growing.
It's growing. Meaning... Well, I mean, like, you know what I mean by growing, yeah, grow the beard. I meant to say, you know, don't shave it. Don't be nice and clean. Don't be nice and clean. خالفوا اليهود والنصارى. Be different than the Yehud and Nasara, right? The Yehud and the Nasara, they grow their beard, right?
Yeah.
And they grow with the beard, what? Their mustache. You can see them like with big beard and thick mustache. So the Prophet ﷺ said, no, we grow the beard and we shave. You want to say shave it, trim it,
make it look different.
Shave it once in a week, you know, just make it short like me. Once it grow a little more, shave it again and let it grow, and then shave it again. Be different. So these little things that with the teaching of the Prophet ﷺ started to his companions, and the companions passed it on to the generations until we came to us here. And there's a lot of things that we are not following from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. But if we want to be among those who are the Prophet ﷺ is given the honor for Shafa'ah, you know, the Shafa'ah, right? Yawm al-Qiyamah. The least thing we can do is what? Try to be ala khuta al-habib. Try your best. As the Prophet ﷺ, he knew that we're not going to do everything he did, right? So he said what? فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. fear Allah to the best of your ability. And whatever I ask you to do, do from it as much as you can handle. Some can do more than others, and some can do less than others. But as long as you keep this نصبعينيك, right there between your eyes, that is لا تحيد عن السنة. Do not deviate from the sunnah. And we mentioned الجهمية والأشعرية all of those misguided sects that they translate things in the deen إما لم ينزل الله به من سلطان. It is away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we know it as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught it to his companions and the companions did it. So we have in among the Sahaba professionals, titles given to them by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are the most trustworthy person in the Ummah. Who is that? Abu Ubaidah. Abu Ubaidah. There are Habr al-Quran. Who is man Habr al-Quran? Huh? Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas. And there are A'lam al-Ummah bil-Halal wal-Haram. The most knowledgeable of Halal al-Haram. Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. And there are other titles given to the companions by whom? These are certifications. They didn't go to colleges. They attended the best colleges. These majalis of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they ask and they hear. They don't ask too much, but they always listening, and they learn from those questions. There are those who are behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who are in more in control of the Quran. So whenever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if they ask him, Ya Rasulullah, you skipped an ayah, the Quran nusikh, the Quran is changed, you know, there's like an ayah was omitted from the Quran. He said, what is that? He said, you've skipped this ayah. So he looked at Abu al-Mundhir. Who is Abu al-Mundhir behind him? Who is Abu al-Mundhir? Ubay ibn Ka'b, radiallahu anhu. Ubay ibn Ka'b, Abu al-Mundhir, who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he left the masjid, he told him, Abu al-Mundhir, and I will conclude with this, قال, أي آية أعظم في كتاب الله? What is the great ayah in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? قال الله ورسوله أعلم. You have to understand one thing. What we learn from the Sahaba, they always have the respect to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is great respect sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They don't answer, even if they don't know the answer. حياءً, احتراماً, حباً. But if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, maybe he knew that Abu al-Mundhir knew the answer. But he replied to him, that means, I want to hear you. قال أي آية أعظم في كتاب الله يا قال الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم. Then when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم do this to him, تاب on his chest ويقول له ليهنك العلم أبا المنذر. What does that mean? Means may Allah سبحانه وتعالى bless your knowledge, that this man on the authority of the Prophet he has what? Knowledge. So do we take what Ubay bin Ka'b said, or we take what Hassuna said? Right? You come with a Mufti Salim, Mufti Hassan, Mufti Aziz, and all of them, and you find if they have like millions of followers on the internet, must be knowledgeable person. Majhulun. We don't know nothing about them. The only thing you know about them is what? They have millions of followers. But who are they? Who introduced them to us from the ulama? Did we know any from the live scholars? They said this person, take from him. He comes out of nowhere and you find him, he has millions of visitors, and the millions became tens of millions and becomes now لبث السموم والبدع والتشيع والتحزب. All of this easy now when you have followers. A person can come sit here. I am somewhere, Allah knows best where. And you hear for a month or two, and someone comes and start talking. MashaAllah, this man is talking beautiful. Allah, he is beautiful talkers. And then he will tell you at the beginning all haqq from the Quran and the Sunnah until he attracts all of you because they are aware of the deen. Once he gets all of your attention and you look at them with respect, you know, short garment, long beard, miswak, huh? Modest, la hawla wa quwwata illa billah. But inside of them, مبتدعين, ضالين, مضلين. What is it? مبتدعين, ضالين, مضلين. What's مبتدعين means? أصحاب بدع. They are the one who spread the innovations. ضالين, they are gone astray. Not only this, they want to bring with them as many followers as possible. فهل أنتم مستمعون? Are you going to listen and follow? Or listen and educate? Or listen and warn? All of it. We listen and warn and educate others about الدين الحق. What is it? الدين الحق. And what will we get our دين حق? The Quran and the Sunnah. سبحانك الله وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. We'll continue إن شاء الله tomorrow. That was a short one today, but tomorrow إن شاء الله we'll continue إن شاء الله. جزاكم الله خير.